السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. As always, we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the best of salah and salam on our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in useful knowledge which helps us to come closer to him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not permit our hearts to deviate from the right path after he has guided us, and to open our hearts to his remembrance and to his words. Inshallah, continuing in Surah Luqman, which we have covered the last two times. Last time we finished with the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son. So we finished at ayah number 19. Luqman alayhi salam talking to his son and giving him advice that is eternally relevant to all parents. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to benefit from that and to apply it in our lives. Now, starting with ayah number 20 to the end, which is 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now addresses his creation directly as the creator to the creation, and he calls us to his tawheed. He makes an argument of why we should believe in him, talks to us about his actions, about his attributes, about his names, about his favors upon us, making a very strong case for us to believe in him, and after we believe in him, to submit to him and worship him alone. So this call to Tawheed is made through the window of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors, his ni'mah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the response of his ibad, of his creation, is one of two ways. The ones who believe, who have gratitude, and those who reject, who are the kafirun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُم مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٌ مُنِيرٌ أَلَمْ تَرَوْا Do you Tarao is not like Tara, which is a second. This is oh, don't all of you, don't you mankind see? Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word see, it's not literally seeing with your eyes, but with your heart. So don't you comprehend, don't you understand? Alam tarau anna Allah sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated for you ma fis samawati, everything that's in the heavens and everything that's on the earth for you. Lakum, that all of what we see above us of the heavens, everything that it contains, the seven heavens, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, everything that comes from above, the clouds, the rain, the hail, the snow, everything above us is for us. Lakum. And everything that's on the earth, under the earth, under the oceans, everything that's on this earth and in it is for our use. It's been subjugated to us. And he said, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نَعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. أَسْبَغَ means he has flooded you, overwhelmed you and completed. Means there is no limit. There's nothing left that he has not given you of na'ma. Na'ma means something that's given to you that you did not earn, you didn't do anything for it, yet Allah gave it to you. So that makes it that much more manifestation of his grace, and it's purely out of his mercy that he gave you. And therefore, that's so much more reason to be a shakir, to have gratitude that Allah has given me all of these things. I didn't do anything. Which includes all the things that we have, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the parents. We didn't do anything to have our parents. The families that we have, the health that we have, all of those things Allah has given. And these are infinite. We can't even count them. But in the interest of time, just to remind us, عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Things that are obvious. Things that are obvious. Worldly things that you use, that you are pleased with. The beauty you see around. The rain that comes to you. The food that you eat. The fruits that you enjoy. The family that you look at and you feel pleasure. All of those. Your health. All of those are zahir. These are apparent. Wa batina. Things that you don't even know. Things that are inside. And of those batin are iman, which is inside, taqwa, hidayah, guidance that Allah has given you. Allah has given you cognition, the ability to think, to reason, and so on and so forth. The genetics, we don't see them, that Allah has put into us. The wisdom that He gives us, this is important to remember since this is a surah about wisdom, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that, and this should be an exercise for us, especially youngsters, and not so young, to sometimes just sit and think about Allah's ni'am, His blessings that He has given us. I didn't earn it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us, He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and among mankind are مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, those who argue, those who are aggressive in arguing and debating about Allah, فِي اللَّهِ, about who Allah is, like, well, Allah is not this and Allah doesn't exist and if He does, there is this and how is this? Talking about Allah, بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They have no knowledge to talk about. No knowledge. وَلَا هُدَى. They have no guidance. وَلَا كِتَابٌ مُنِيرٌ. And they have no book of guidance. These people who are arguing about Allah, and we hear this from our many so-called educated secularists, who will debate about Allah. They have never read the book of Allah. They have no clue. Yet they will argue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that to know Allah, therefore you take the opposite of this position. To know Allah, you need to have ilm. Allah is known by knowledge. You need to have huda, guidance. And guidance is to know where to go and to walk that path. And Kitabu Munir, and a book that gives light, which is the Quran. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributing all of these three to the Quran. That the Quran is a book of light that gives it gives guidance, and it is full of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the hereafter. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, just for those who have just come in this ayah, He says, O people, don't you see, don't you experience, don't you know that Allah has subjected to you everything in the heavens, everything on the earth for your purpose, stars, moons, clouds, rains, whatever, everything on the earth, and has completed His blessings. He has given you what you did not earn of His blessings. And these are apparent, those you know, those that are physical, and those that are hidden. And then He says, and among mankind is he who disputes, jidal. Jidal generally has a negative connotation, somebody who just likes to argue. And argues aggressively, fillah, about Allah, without knowledge of, or guidance or an enlightening book. So, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran, which is a book of knowledge, of guidance, and light. And therefore, we look to it and we follow it because that is the clear guidance. And we compare that to those who will debate academically with clever arguments, And sometimes at social gatherings, they will bring up things just to make things. Oh, where is this from? And where is in this? And doesn't this mean this? And they have no idea. And just for the sake of entertainment. So we need to know that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people who are arguing against him, his signs. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it is said to these people, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ اتِّبَع Follow what Allah has revealed. Now interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here doesn't say, آمِنُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ Believe. He's saying, follow it means action is required. You're supposed to change your life. Your lifestyle needs to change, become in compliance with what Allah has revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, because again, Meccan period is being addressed directly to the Quraysh, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ Because what were they saying? That he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has invented it. Allah is saying, no, what Allah has revealed, follow that. And when this is said to them, they give a standard answer, which was given then, which was given at the time of Fir'aun, which is given today. What do they say? قَالُوا They say, بَلْ No. نَتَّبِعُوا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا We will follow what we found our fathers and grandfathers and forefathers doing. We are going to stick to that. And that's what happens all the time. All throughout history, that's been the argument. That we can't abandon the ways of the traditions of our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ Even though their fathers, grandfathers took the path to Jahannam, because shaitan invited them to this, they took that path and you still want to follow them just because that's the tradition. So here in this ayah, to show that we have received this Qur'an that was sent as a tanzeel, we acknowledge it by ittiba, by following it, not just by reading it or knowing it or keeping it on the top shelf. Ittiba is required. Action is required to make those corrective changes in our life. Just think of the journey. If the pilot is off by 1 degree or a fraction of a degree when he leaves New York, by the time you cross the Atlantic, instead of London, you may be in Stockholm. Just 1 degree. So those corrections need to be made. And we do that now. Our cars make the correction. You come 6 inches closer to the sideline, brrr, corrects it. I wish we had that kind of correction in our lives, that any time we thought of this thing, we would be corrected. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has corrected some people who have reached that state so that they are always on that. So, the translation, and when it is said to them, follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, they say, no, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following. Would they do so even if shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire? So one of the biggest obstacles that we have in following the Quran is what? The fear of what will my family say? That's what comes first. Right? It's looking strange. For example, average Muslim family, one person grows a beard or one sister puts on a hijab, at the next party, they will say, what happened to you? You became a fundamentalist, you became this, you became that. What's wrong? That's the first thing. And that's from our own families. Illa mashallah. So that's where the first thing, what will my friends say? You know, oh, you've left us, you've gone this way. What about your traditions? You know, this has been our culture and traditions all of our lives. Why are you changing? So this blind following of our predecessors, of our culture, is one of the greatest obstacles that we have, that we are used to a certain way, which has become our normal, and we are afraid of deviating from that so-called normality. And some of them actually take pride in what their ancestors were. And that was the case of the Quraysh. Oh, we were this and we were this and we were leaders. But what kind of leaders? So here, they have left behind a legacy which leads to Jahannam. The grandfathers and the fathers left behind a legacy for their children that will take the children to Jahannam, as opposed to what we just covered in the last. Alhamdulillah, the kids are mashallah cute, but when Allah's kalam is being talked about, it is lack of adab to be deviated by anything else. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless them and make them strong in the deen. Luqman alayhi salam left behind a legacy, which we learned the last time, that would take his child to Jannah if he followed that. Now these people leave behind a legacy that takes their progeny into Jannah. Look at the comparison of the two. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the path that Iblis has shown them and glorified it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what is the end of this. He says, إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ, to a flaming punishment. And just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like to punish his ibad. This is only out of his justice and actually out of his rahmah. Because even there, he gives them the minimum punishment. He doesn't give them the maximum. If you've done something good, even though you are a kafir, your punishment in Jahannam is diminished. And we have an example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us of who, if you remember. The person who was closest to Islam but didn't accept it. His beloved uncle Abu Talib, who helped the cause of Islam, helped, supported us, just did not take it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that his punishment in Jahannam will be the least of those people in Jahannam, proportionate to that, out of Allah's rahmah for what he did. And then he describes what that punishment is, and you don't want to know about that. It's the sandals of fire, which is going to make the brain boil. That's the least. So just remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these two responses, and the next two ayats talk about these two responses. But there is one group of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ, and the one who submits his face to Allah. What does it mean? What does it mean, submits his face to Allah? He turns to Allah, follows the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts the tawheed, worships Allah alone with sincere faith in his lordship, in his rububiyah, that Allah is the only Lord, that he is the only one worthy of worship without any partners, understanding, knowing his names and attributes, and submitting to his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions, following the laws of the shara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us. So this is the external. وَهُوَ مُحْسِن, and he is a muhsin. What is a muhsin? A person who consistently does ihsan in everything. Everything he does to excellence. What level of excellence? As if he sees Allah in front of him when he's doing it. And since he doesn't, that Allah is seeing him. Whatever he does, whether it's an act of worship, whether it's, you know, a dealing, a business dealing, whether it's parenting, whether anything else, with ihsan, who's muhsin, then that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faqadistam saka bil urwatil uthqa, that this person has grasped a firm handhold. What is that handhold? If you could imagine that Allah is holding your hand, that means Allah's promise for you that He will save you from hellfire is guaranteed. So a person who does this has guaranteed himself, has anchored himself to be saved. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every affair and his decision returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, a brief translation, and whosoever submits his face himself to Allah while he is a muhsin, consistently excellent in doing good, performs good deeds totally for Allah's sake without any show or to gain praise or fame, and does them in accordance with the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold, which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from somebody la ilaha illallah, it's a covenant that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who has accepted la ilaha illallah with his heart, Allah's obligation for him is not to put him in Jannah. He's obliged not to save him from that. And to Allah is the return and the end of all affairs and matters. Now, the opposite, that one was, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَ, the one who submits his face. Now comes the opposite, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. The opposite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one kafara, who disbelieves, who denies the favors of Allah, who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who's rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was very painful for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen, wants to save everyone, and he's throwing a life jacket to somebody, and that person wants to drown and won't grab it. So what was it doing to his heart? It was giving him a lot of constriction and grief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ, don't let their kufr grieve you. This is a choice they are making, free choice. I know you want to save them, but don't let that grieve you. إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ, to us, they will all return. Leave it to me. فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا, then we will certainly tell them in great detail what they used to do, what they said, what they did. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is hidden in the chests of people.